Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. So welcome back, everyone. I know we've been in touch on email recently. Hopefully folks have seen the outcome of the public comments. I know I got a bunch of responses to mail on that, so thanks for taking a look. Just to recap for people, we got 7 public comments, one of which was a correction to a previously submitted comment, and other than one, which was sort of generally about the transition and not about the IPR specifically, they were all just supportive of the IPR documents, which is great. That means we did a good job in preparing them, or that people have limited attention for this, or both, but nevertheless, it means that we are very close to finalizing these documents. I think we have one remaining substantive issue, and then we can kind of turn to the agenda here, but wanted to dive into the details a little bit in terms of what's remaining with the documents. And I think the only remaining substantive issue is in the license agreement, we still have the names, the definition of the names community as TBD. So I had asked an email if someone from the names group could provide an update and didn't see any response to that, so, or maybe I missed it, I'm not actually sure. But is anyone from the names community here who can give us an update on the definition of names community language? Greg, maybe, or Josh, or Lisa?
This is Greg. I was just joining, so.
Oh, hi, Greg. I was wondering if you have an update on the definition of names community. That's, I think, the only piece of text that we're missing in any of the agreements.
Yeah, I noticed that. I need to go back and take, I think, a group of like-minded people with an interest in names. I think you have something better than that, actually. Let me go back and try to find Walter here.
Okay. Well, maybe while you're doing that, we could talk about the other item. So, George, you had agreed to basically finalize all of the remaining text that is in brackets, mostly addresses and names of signatories and so on, and to do the work necessary to split the license agreement into 3 documents and so forth. Could you give us an update on where that stands?
Nope, this is George, so I am happy to do that, but it would be, and it won't take that long, it would be useful to have all of the little bits and pieces of information in. I mean, I you know, could use address info, for example, you know, from the RIR community, the, you know, the names information. Again, it won't take a huge amount of time to plug this information in, but, you know, there's no sense in updating the documents and then updating them again.
Okay. I thought, so the RIRs had sent all of their information. I guess maybe we should use this call to figure out what is outstanding, because I know the RIRs had sent their information, at least something there. So maybe we should go through the documents one by one and see what is actually needed.
Sure. And I apologize. I apologize. It looks like they are saying they sent that, so my fault if it's lurking somewhere in the email and not there yet.
Okay.
But I think it's fine. I mean, do you want to go through? I mean, we certainly can go through if you want to put the documents and see if there are any blanks or brackets that need to be filled in. I mean, I honestly think it is just addresses and, you know, formal names at this point. But, you know.
Yeah, so, like, if we look at the – we can look at the community agreement. will need a, you know, the name of the person who is signing, or I guess, I don't know if people intend to fill this in by hand and do the scan and email. So the names of the people signing can probably be filled in by the signatories. You will need ICANN's address as well. I'm not sure if there's a particular address that they use, but.
And I'm assuming for IETF and the IETF Trust we'll be using the Reston address, and that for ICANN we'll be using the main address in California, unless anybody tells me otherwise.
Looks like confirmation from ICANN as well. Okay, so given that Alan sent the RER addresses before, you should have everything you need on the addressing front, I think. Is that correct?
In fact, I've just found it. Alan's note is a link to the SLA. Yes, I do recall that. So I have it in front of me. That's perfect.
Okay, great. So those things should be simple to finish. And that's that, I think, as far as those details go. Let's come back to Greg, and then we can talk about actual sign-off of the final document. If you have discovered the words that you were looking for.
Yes, I've got something here. Josh and I were comparing notes. So let me paste it into the chat. It's a little wordy. I just did it twice by accident for emphasis. There should probably be an of after chartering organizations in the first line.
Okay. Got it. So, with that small edit, George, could you take that text and put it into the final version of the community agreement that will also have addresses in it?
Yeah, so just let me make sure I understand where this is going. The text that Greg has just put up, is this going in the community agreement in the sort of the first recital where we define names community? This is replacing basically ICANN on behalf of the names community. Or not?
No, this is actually would go in the definition section. I think there's a definition of names community.
And I'm sorry, I misspoke. I was actually looking. There's a definition of names community in the license agreement, which is a TBD.
Right, so that's where it should go in the license agreement.
That's where this is going. The community agreement we just need to take the brackets out of ICANN. In the preamble, correct?
Well, so let's just take this one step at a time then. In the, should these definitions not be the same between the two agreements?
I think they should be, actually. I think what it should say in the community agreement is ICANN as signatory on behalf of, and then launch into this. Whether you want to put that all in preamble is a different question, you know, from a drafting.
Yeah, you could say ICANN as signatory on behalf of the names community and then define the names community, like, same way.
Define the names community. Yeah.
asking them to drop the definition down and pull up.
Right. I think that makes sense. I like that.
And then you don't have a full paragraph for the just the face.
Right. And then this definition is also the definition that would go in the license agreement.
Correct.
In 1.24.
Right. Except, and obviously not with ICANN as signatory on behalf of it.
Right, but that's not going to be in the definition either, right? So in the preamble, so there's going to be a definition of names community in section 1.18 of the community agreement, which is going to be the same as the definition 1.24 of the license agreement. But in the preamble of the community agreement, we'll have ICANN saying on behalf of the, capitalized names community. That's what I thought I heard Josh suggesting.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Exactly.
Greg and Josh, and Josh, sorry to interrupt. This is Lisa. I just wanted to recall, did we completely agree on this on the CWG call, or do we need to check if this was the final definition that was agreed upon from the group? Sorry to just jump in, but I can't recall it, so I'm just checking if you have a better memory than I have.
So my recollection was that there was no further comment or objection raised to this. We had cleaned up the definition around, for the benefit of, and that was about the CWG acting for the benefit of initially, but the names community definition was agreed that it's those that have affirmed or hereafter affirmed. And it was based on the chartering organizations of the CWG. So I believe it had been, that consensus had been reached.
I'm just thinking if we could make a quick check of this and then get back to the group tomorrow. It's not that it needs to take ages, but just to be absolutely sure. Sorry to be such a bore, but I can see Jonathan is typing.
Jonathan typing. I mean, I think that's okay. I was gonna talk to people a little bit about the timeline because I know the IGF Trust is meeting on Thursday. So the idea was to have all these things finalized in time for the trustees to be able to take one last look at them before they sign them on Thursday. So, but now Jonathan's saying you have to wait until the CWG meeting on Thursday to actually know. So that sounds different. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hi, Lisa and others. I think it's Jonathan for the record. We really have to do two things. One, we have to check whether this was an agreed definition, and if it is, well, then we have no more to discuss. If it wasn't, and it somehow slipped through the cracks that we didn't actually formalize this definition, we should get it agreed by the CWG formally on Thursday. That doesn't mean it couldn't be put into the document in a square bracketed form and say this is the likely definition. I would think that that's not material enough to that the IETF Trust could still not consider the rest of the documentation in the whole. So that's my kind of suggested. I know it's not perfect and it would be ideal if the document was absolutely solid, but that's a variation that may work. Thanks.
Okay, so it sounds like the plan is send this definition back to the CWG and check if there was already consensus or not. If so, then I was going to ask George anyway, when
when do we think we can have the final documents back to the full group? If the CWG check comes back before that, then this language will not be bracketed. If it comes back after that, then it will be. If for some reason if there isn't already consensus, then it will be bracketed until the CWG call, which sounds like it's happening an hour or two or something before the IETF trust call.
This is George.
In advance of
so my suggestion is, I can make these changes, today. I'll send them out to this list later this evening. Again, it won't take that long, but I would suggest not putting in the brackets. I mean, at this point, this would be a pretty minor thing. And again, trying to manage a bunch of documents, like an hour before a trust vote just to take out some brackets seems like it's just going to introduce more room for errors. You know, I would say we all understand that any party can make any change that they want, up until the moment they sign the agreement. So if the CWG comes back and says, this is a terrible definition, let's change it, we'll change it. But it seems like there's a high likelihood that we want it to do that. And I think it would be more stable just to have one document without the brackets, if that's not objectionable to people.
I think that's fine. Any objections to that plan? Okay. So let's go with that plan. We will expect to see the documents from you, George, within 24 hours, I assume. And that way, the other communities, if people want to share them back out with the other communities, they can do that as well. And be ready for approvals on Thursday. Okay. So then once that is done, I was just looking back at our timeline. I am assuming that everyone else who needs to sign will be prepared to do so after sometime between Thursday and the end of the following week. Is there anything we need to talk about in terms of approvals and signature mechanics? Jonathan, are you in the queue again? No. Okay. Go ahead, George.
Yeah. So one blank to be filled in all the documents is the date, the effective date. And maybe we're getting to the dates right now. But, I guess I'm asking the group what date should we include as the effective date. All three documents should have the same effective date. Is it September 30th, October 1st? Let me know.
Okay, that's a question for the group. The DRE suggests September 30th. Go ahead, Sam.
Hi, this is Sam. I was first going to comment on the time frame. As we've indicated from ICANN, we will take all required actions to have the board have its meeting to approve the agreement. It will happen before September 30th, but I don't know that it'll happen before the 26th. We're still trying to locate a time and date that we can get an appropriate quorum of the board together for it, but we will have that happen before September 30th. I don't have the documents in front of me. They're all open right now on the effective date issue, but we have to make sure that the effective date is tied to the date of the transition. And so I thought we had some language within there that had a little bit of that condition precedent in there. So I think that 1 October would be the earliest possible effective date, and then, you know, in the event that all the other stuff going on in the atmosphere right now is anything happens, I think we have to tether it to the actual date of the transition. We have other language I can work with George on to that we've used in other agreements in this whole transition forecast, like the language that we have put in place for the IANA naming functions agreement or RTMA or any of those. We have a few other documents that we've already negotiated within ICANN that have the conditional effective date language in it.
Thanks, Sam. Next, I have Greg.
Thanks. I think Sam covered what I would say, so I'm taking my hand down.
Okay. Yari?
Funny, my mute button. Hello, all. So I don't, like, I mean, I don't have strong opinion, obviously, about September 30th or October 1. I do think, though, that, you know, the IANA transition project has produced a number of things which are actually useful and good reorganizations of our work and structures, but are not necessarily directly tied to the transition. I mean, even though we need for them for the transition, but I'm not sure we should necessarily tie this to the transition date. We can just execute them. Yeah, business as usual. That would be my take, at least.
Go ahead, Greg.
This is Greg. I think there's two separate questions. One is, when can these be executed? And the second is, what is the effective date? Those are two separate questions. These could be signed today if they were approved by their groups, but they should not be effective until the transition occurs, because the assignment of the IANA IPR is a piece of the transition. We could, you know, somebody could always hold signatures in escrow. You know, one of the counsel, a lawyer types, could just, you know, hold the signatures in escrow, or everyone could hold their respective signatures in escrow, literally, you know, in a file or in a drawer in the olden days. But the actual the signature should not be released and the effective date declared until it's, you know, until the where we're at the point where that's happening. But the signature can occur anytime, especially since we've kind of, you know, have a separate effective date listed there. So it's not effective upon signature, it's effective upon the effective date. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. That was a useful clarification. And just one thought to interject here, which I've thought about a little bit this week, is like, is this more like the bylaws changes, which are there already, not effective as of the transition, just effective because people thought it was a good thing to do? Or is this more like the SLAs and the agreements between BTI and ICANN, which are not effective until the transition actually completes? So I think
the bylaws,
it's not fully obvious which of those it is.
The bylaws aren't effective yet.
But they will be effective whether or not the contract expires on September 30th, right?
I'll answer that question.
I can cover that when you come to me.
Okay. Okay. So Yari, are you back in the queue? No. Okay. Ted, go ahead.
Actually, I think what I have to say may be, in fact, colored by the answer Sam will get. So if you could put her first and then the answer, that would probably be great.
Go ahead, Sam.
Thanks. There are a couple different things that tie in together here. So the bylaws actually, the resolution where the board approved the bylaws stated that the bylaws don't go into effect until the time of transition, and that if something happens that the transition doesn't happen, when we expected to, that the board would work with the community to identify those portions of the bylaws that aren't related to the IANA functions contract and get those into place. So there's no part of the bylaws that goes into effect on September 30th or October 1st, whether or not the transition has been, is able to complete. I think we do have to look at the text of the agreements themselves that reference the different agreements through which the communities are getting their oversight powers over the PTI, right? So there's the IANA naming functions agreement that for the naming community that will only go into effect when the transition happens. There's the supplemental agreement, the supplemental MOU with the IETF that has provisions that relate to when the IANA functions agreement with the ICANN goes into effect. There's the SLAs with the RIRs that don't go into effect until the transition happens. And those are all some of the dependencies that are listed out within the agreements themselves that we've developed on the IANA IPR. And so we'd have to actually restructure the agreements, I think, if there is an intention to put them into place, even if the transition hadn't happened, because the different powers and the different termination points and everything are would need to be modified. So from my view of the agreements that we've drafted, they do have to be conditional on the transition going forward.
Thanks, Sam. Ted, you want to come back in?
I think Sam's clarification actually was very useful, and I thank you very much. I think we may want to, one, just to proceed with the cockeyed optimism that it will be October 1st, and put the usual caveat in there, lest something prevent it. Beyond that, I do think that if for some reason we do not succeed in making October 1st the effective date, then we probably want to have the conversation with ICANN and the board over the same issue of how much of this should go ahead in advance of the transition at that point. But I think attempting to restructure the agreements to have that conversation now is just, there's simply no time for that. But we may come to the decision, should there be a further delay, that there are pieces of this that actually should go ahead. ICANN might decide to go ahead with setting up PTI and restructuring itself. There may be other pieces to that could occur. So, but it sounds like we shouldn't attempt any of that before the second, given the current document structure.
Thanks, Ted. Yori?
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand that these parts are sort of born out of the transition work. But I'll make an observation of how we appear to be working. So we have a system that has been evolving, the last decade or so in various ways. Like the IETF was able to make SLAs with ICANN, and then we started the transition work and all evolution stopped. And I think it's a strategic mistake for us to do that. It builds too much of a power position for the guys who will decide what to do with the transition in the U.S. Congress, for instance. It would be far better for us to do the sensible things that are not directly about transition, even though the ideas for those came up during the transition, and execute them, take care of our business, not build up the Big Bang. Big Bangs usually are a bad idea at least in engineering terms. Incremental improvement is the key word, at least in my world. So I would really like to see if we could just sign these things and get it over with and then worry about the transition as such later, whenever that happens. Thank you.
sounds like we have a few different opinions on this one. I guess, Yari, just to turn that back around on you, what is your sort of answer to Sam's observation that, you know, this the document references other agreements that that don't have the same condition that, you know, will only become effective after the expiry of the INF functions contract? Isn't that a problem? We can't really sign an agreement that references another agreement that doesn't exist.
That is indeed a problem. I don't claim that I have a solution for that. I'm just making the observation that we're building a trap for ourselves, that I'm not sure that that was absolutely necessary. So I don't think we should by default assume that we delay everything until the transition happens. I don't know if the references can be changed, and I certainly don't suggest that we start heavy editing of the documents at this point. I do recognize this issue.
Okay, thanks. Ted, are you still in the queue?
Yeah, this is I'll let Ted go. This is Greg.
Sorry, I meant to lower my hand. My fault.
Okay, Greg, go ahead.
Hi, this is Greg in chat, and I don't see any reason why we should hive this off from the rest of the transition and do it separately. It's really all part of one big transaction. In my day job, I've worked on a lot of transactions as the designated IP tech lawyer. I've lost count, but it's probably close to 800. And I can't think of a time when anybody, you know, took a piece of the transaction that wasn't intended to precede any other part of the transaction and did it. This is really a completely intertwined and interrelated aspect of what we're doing, and there's no purpose, and actually it would be kind of inappropriate for the IPR to be taken out of ICANN and the other structures kind of stood up while there's no PTI and there's no naming functions agreement. But the basic point is that there's just no reason to jump the gun. This is a closing. There's one way to look at this. This is a closing, and closings happen because everything moves at the same time. If you have staged closings, you do it because some things need to happen before other things happen. This is not one of those things. Everything here is mutually interdependent and should close now. Finally, you know, if this all could fall smoothly into place, of course, but if it doesn't, if things get interesting, I think the surest way to set a trap for ourselves is to try to do something that could in any way be interpreted as sneaking a little bit of this over the line. It would not be a good optical choice to make, and it gives us absolutely nothing of substance. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Sam?
Hi, this is Sam Eisner again from ICANN. You know, I wanted to just follow up with what Ted had suggested earlier that, you know, I don't think that the inclusion of making sure that the effective date is conditioned upon the package, as Greg was also explaining, does in any way stand in the way of this group coming back together with the ICANN board and having a further conversation about in the eventuality that the transition doesn't go forward, which, you know, clearly is not the optimal situation for any of us on this call. But if the transition doesn't go forward as planned on September 30th and October 1st, that there could be further conversation about how to appropriately consider whether or not the IPR goes to the IATF trust and how we organize that in light of the changed circumstance. So I don't think that it's not a bright line of if the transition doesn't happen, there's never any further conversation about this and the agreements just don't go through. I like the way that Ted suggested that we had a further conversation because, indeed, because of the fact that the IPR came through the transition proposals, the whole proposal to move it came out of the ICG proposal, and that's what the board accepted. I, as an ICANN staff member here today, don't have authority to agree to something that's different from that because we do see that as tied to the transition. So it would be a broader conversation in any event.
Thanks, Sam. George?
Thanks. I used to have a day job similar to Greg's and have worked on many, many M&A transactions over the years. And, you know, it occurs to me that these agreements are what M&A field we call ancillary agreements, right? As important as they are, you know, to me personally and to the people on this call, that these are ancillary to a larger transaction. And usually, on the ancillary agreements, get signed at the closing when the agreement, you know, when the main agreement, when the main transition or acquisition is happening. They don't get signed before with some deferred contingent effective date. I don't have an objection in principle to that, which, you know, Sam proposed and I'm sure has language in other agreements that we could work on to make that happen, but that's not simple or trivial language. And I'm just concerned that if we start to put in contingencies, right, and there are all sorts of questions are going to come up. Questions like, you know, how long would we wait between the signing of these agreements and some eventual closing under the transition? 5 days? 30 days? 30 years? Who knows, right? I mean, that's another number that we're going to have to think about and fill in. And there are a variety of different, you know, questions that are going to come out of this that I guess I'm just not sure why we would do this to ourselves when we, in theory, could just, you know, solidify these agreements, leave the date blank, I guess, until we know that this thing is ready to close and the transition is going to happen, and then we sign them on the day of the transition. I guess I'm just not seeing why that's not. I mean, that's certainly an easier way to go, but I you know, would be happy to hear from others why that's not not the best thing to do at this point.
Okay, so just to be clear, George, you're arguing for something different entirely. So what Sam was arguing for was that we take the existing language, the contingency language that exists in basically all of the other agreements that have been part of the transition implementation, and we put it in here. We sign the agreements next week, and then when the contingency kicks in is when the actual IPR gets transferred and all of the other obligations come into play. George, what you were just arguing for is actually that we don't sign the agreements next week. We put a blank in there for the date, and then at some point in the future, whenever people agree on what the actual true date of the transition is, then we put in the date and people sign them. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, you do. And again, I'm operating under the handicap, I guess, that I haven't seen all these other agreements. I'm only working on this piece of it. But again, I see a duration that would need to be dealt with, and I would see some sort of termination that would need to kick in, you know, if whatever, the transition doesn't happen by the right time. And I guess I'm just not seeing why we need to then sort of start to negotiate this stuff again. But if everybody's already agreed, and this is in a bunch of other agreements that I just haven't been a party to, then, you know, it's certainly less of an issue.
Okay, thank you. Ted, go ahead.
So I think this has been an interesting conversation, but I think there's probably two different framings of this problem that are related to two different timescales. At the moment, the relationship among all these parties is bound up in a transition that Greg characterized and I think George echoed as a closing. There's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to happen at once. The joking way I've heard that put is we're throwing the house up into the air on the 30th and we're relaying the foundation so that it lands somewhere else on the 1st. And while I certainly understand that you don't want to be, you know, putting in the plumbing while the foundation is not done, and therefore in this particular context, we may want to leave these as contingencies, and as I argued before, if we want to do that, I'm fine with that for the moment. But I think that the larger framing that Yari put is also correct, right? This is actually part of a much longer set of relationships among all of these parties, and that if we look in that longer framing rather than in the short, this is a closing framing, we see opportunities for making incremental progress that don't require us to tie those pieces of incremental progress into large packages. And I think there is a question, you know, if the transition should be delayed after we've all gone to see our dentists about the grinding of our teeth, and we return to the longer framing of what our relationship should evolve, how our relationship should evolve. There are some questions here about the bylaws, as the board has already agreed, potentially about this, as the board might agree, that we want to return to. So I think that we have to be careful as we look in this shorter term, fairly immediate set of interlocked agreements, as we structure them, that we don't cause ourselves to structure all of our future evolution together in the same way. And I think that's the point I heard Yari making. And I very much agree. There are going to be ongoing things that we will want to continue to discuss among ourselves, whether there is a transition on the 30th or not. Thanks.
Thanks, Ted. Greg?
This is Greg. I guess, you know, I'm not, you know, familiar with the, you know, long and ongoing relationship, but I think this is a unique event. And it's a small part of a very much larger unique event with an uncommon amount of scrutiny as well. And whether we go with the condition precedent language, which is fine with me, or with George's suggestion that we just wait for the day of and sign it then, or my suggestion that it be signed but held in escrow and then dated at the right time and exchanged put into the pot at the right time. I think any of those work. The one thing I can't see why we would possibly do is actually transact this transaction in any way separate from the transition, and I just as much as it baffles me that would even be a possibility.
Thanks, Greg. So I think it sounds to me at least a little bit like the folks who want to sign them and have them be effective as of, you know, October 1 are probably in the rough. Feel free to disagree with me, those folks, if you want to. But it doesn't sound like we really have much agreement about which of the other options to pursue. And maybe this is something that people need to go back within their own communities and think about and talk about, and we can gather. We were supposed to have another call on Wednesday. I don't think we actually managed to get it onto the calendar, but we could come back on Wednesday and talk about it. That's my best suggestion at present, unless somebody has another suggestion.
I just got an announcement for a meeting on Wednesday.
You did? Oh, okay, good. Sorry, I'm not been in my email too much. Okay, thanks, Russ. So I think I have Yari next.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify my position. So I think we've made the opinion understood and known. I'm not standing in front of any particular arrangement discussed during this call. So if you want to use the condition precedent or any of the other solutions, that's fine. I mean, it's better than not signing the contracts. And that's fine for me. And then we can discuss exactly what, you know, its variant of that is appropriate. The only thing I was trying to make, the only point that I was trying to make was that strategically you want to leave yourself room to maneuver and to, you know, make this improvements. And, you know, over time, if you never do any improvements, because you think everything is, you know, connected to everything else, it's going to hurt you. I still think so, but I understand the other viewpoint as well. So feel free to figure out what the best way forward is. And you know, I'm not blocking on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Yari. Greg?
Greg, again, with a question and then a comment. When are all the other agreements being signed? What is the current plan on that, given that we are part of a bigger event?
Alyssa, this is Sam. I can answer that if it would be helpful.
Sure.
Yes, I was hoping.
Sure. So the IETF supplemental MOU and the SLA with the RIRs has actually already been signed. The IANA naming functions agreement and services agreement will be signed after, they're expected to be signed before September 30th, but at a point after we've had an opportunity for the PTI board to come together and approve the agreement. So it'll probably be the week of the 26th that we see that happen. And those are the biggest conditional arrangements here that we have. So from ICANN's perspective, everything's on track to be signed before the 30th.
Okay, well, I guess in retrospect, we, you know, should have put the contingent language in so that this matched up with the others, but, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I do think if we're going to do something other than, and I'm not sure if this is still even on the table, but if there's some idea that we would actually sign these agreements and make them effective in advance of the overall transition, that would have to go back to the NAMES community to see if that's something that would be approved. I don't think that's something we can assume. It makes sense because that's not what the general predicate assumption was of why and how this is happening. Thanks.
Thanks. Okay, just a time check. We have 10 minutes left, and we do have a few other things we should probably talk about. So George and then Andrew. Ted, are you back in the queue? My hands are coming up and going down. Okay, so George and then Andrew, and then you might want to try to wrap. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, just a since people will probably be going back and considering this over the next couple of days, one other consideration for just holding off on the signature until the actual transition or closing date is that it is much, much easier to change the text in the agreement before it's signed. If there's some change that we decide we want to make for whatever reason, something we forgot about, something that just comes up, you know, in the discussions over the next 2 weeks, going and getting it amended, you know, when we've got all these different signatories is just a pain, and difficult to do. Whereas if it's not signed, if it's still a draft, it's much, much easier to do that effectively and efficiently. So just another plug for holding off.
Thank you, George. Go ahead, Andrew.
Just very quickly on what Greg said, it seems to me that, you know, the community did have the opportunity to comment on this and did not comment on the fact that there was no contingency in the language. So that is a consideration about whether the the NAMES community or any of the other communities actually were in fact worried about that. It could be that that was something that everybody saw and decided they didn't care about. All we have is the evidence of non-comment on the very topic. Anyway, just something for consideration, I guess, we probably don't need to consider it here.
Thank you. Although, to be fair, we published the documents with blanks where the dates were and made no indication about whether they would be signed before September 30th or how the signatures would proceed, you know, exactly the things we've just been discussing now. So there was community review of the existing text, but nobody knew what was going in those blanks. That's just food for thought. And just to, Greg, just to your point on the alternatives, I think at least the thing that I want to think about more is that it's not that most of the alternatives have no substantive effect, because depending on when the transition happens, you know, if it happens when this month or if it happens in 2 years or something, it binds the parties. So, you know, maybe something that seems reasonable right now will not seem reasonable then. I think that was sort of George's point about the contingency. So I don't think all of the alternatives are equivalent necessarily. So go ahead, Greg, since I responded to your point. Go ahead.
Sorry, I don't always feel like the need to respond to everything, but I guess I'm a little surprised at the idea that there would be any retrading of this. I suppose, you know, there's the possibility that the IETF trust, if we really did have 2 years, God forbid, you know, might actually, that would give enough time to change the trust agreement as been contemplated as a possible future exam. So I guess, you know, that's one possibility, but I guess other than that, I'm a little concerned that the idea, you know, that this whole thing isn't going to get kind of held in place. I mean, I think my expectation is that every other part of the transition is going to get held in place, but maybe that's a bad assumption too, and there's just going to be all kinds of stuff happening. But that option, whether it's in this little area of the transition or overall, really gives me heartburn. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. I guess all I can say is, like, let's hope that none of us have to deal with any of those potentialities that you just alluded to. Okay, so I think the plan is here. We're still going to get clean, updated copies of the agreements from George tomorrow, just with the dates as is. But in the meantime, people will have their own internal conversations about effective date and contingency, and we will come back on Wednesday. If people have thoughts in the meantime, please feel free to share them on the list about this. And I'm actually wondering, we have 1 hour scheduled on Wednesday. I hope that should be enough for this discussion, but we spent almost half an hour on it today. But if we can't resolve it in an hour, then it's probably not getting resolved. So let's stick with our 1 hour on Wednesday, and it will be mostly consumed by this topic, I anticipate. George, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure I have my instructions right. So you guys would like to see the revised clean agreements, but
I don't know if anybody else is.
I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. You want to see the revised clean agreements, but with the date still blank. I mean, this contingency language, you know, will have to be worked in. And I mean, it's more than just filling in a blank with a number, right? I just want to be sure people are aware of that. It's, you know, it's more than that. But I can do that if that would be helpful for everybody, just to see the agreements with all the changes we've talked about except the dates.
I'm not sure if anybody, I was having a lot of trouble hearing you, George. I had to, like, turn my volume up on the mic. But I think what you said is that you're going to make all the other changes that we agreed and just leave the dates as is. And that sounds like a reasonable plan to me. Josh,
yep.
Go ahead.
So I was just going to suggest this late variation on that, Alyssa and others. But I would suggest revising the agreement to include the contingency language like ICANN has inserted in the other agreements, because it still may not be signed by Wednesday or by next week. And frankly, until it gets signed, one, it's not a binding agreement on anybody. But even I think if it were signed and, like somebody said, this thing drags on for the contingencies start to drag on, I think any signatory could revoke its approval or could revoke its agreement prior to it becoming effective. So if something did drag on for too long. So I think, being mindful of the challenges that George Riley raised about coordinating signatures and also making this align with the other documents and their statements of contingencies, it would make sense to me to draft this, to include the language drafting it in the same way for everybody to review. It's still not going to be signed this week, but at least that's the language that people see in front of them. And I think until those contingencies all do lift, then frankly the agreement as a legal matter would be revocable by a signatory at any time. So I think people are protected from the long-term or the potential sort of long-term delay as well.
Thanks, Josh. Go ahead, Sam.
I was just wondering if it would be helpful for me to circulate the contingency language from each of the three agreements out to the group just so everyone can see how they were aligned, and it should then be pretty easy to determine the language that we put into the agreement. But that way, everyone in the group could have the language at hand that they could take back to their other, to those that you're all consulting with too, just to get a view on it before the language is finalized.
Sure, that sounds helpful.
Great, I'll circulate that this afternoon.
And I was just saying in the chat, I guess my little bit of nervousness about saying, some people just go and negotiate it is, I think, it sounds at least like there's a difference of opinion between George and some others about the sunset. And the way that these things are written, I would imagine the kind of sunset clause would be, intertwined with the rest of the words. So if there's a way to write it such that it's here's a version with a sunset and here's a version without, or, here's the version and the sunset part could easily be taken out, then I think I'm all for it. But would help if you guys can comment, George and Sam and Josh, if you can comment on whether you think that's achievable. Okay. So you guys will go off and have your conversation. Sam will share with the list. The rest of the community folks can go talk to their own communities, and we will gather back on Wednesday, and try to finalize. And then the other thing I just wanted to check quickly is if anyone has concerns about their community's ability to have three CCG members appointed by September 30th. Okay, that sounds good. So it sounds like everyone is on track. Oh, Josh, go ahead.
CWG is still working on that. I think they have a contingency plan, but it is something that still is being dealt with and hopefully will be resolved perhaps on this Thursday's call.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I guess that raises another point, which is we should probably schedule a call for next week, too, just to wrap up loose ends if we have any on that front.
Could the staff take an action to send a doodle for a call next week? Thank you. Okay, we're at the top of the hour, so we should break. Thanks, everyone, and we'll be back on the mailing list and on Wednesday.
Thanks.
Sorry for